So today we're going to talk about all things can be made new, because it's our last meeting as a church in this decade, because we're going into a new decade. Amen. 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 And I let me pray, and then I'm going to ask Brother Willie to go ahead and put the foundational scripture up there, and then I'll do my opening remarks after I pray. Amen. Balance me up. That way I won't get a crook in my neck as I look on one side of the church. Are y'all left brain, right brain? Because I know generally I sit on a certain side of a church too. If I walk into a church, I tend to sit on that side of the church. But I guess we got a lot of people who are this side brain, amen? Because they walk in and sit there. All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this day, Father. We thank you, Father God, that as we near the end of 2019, that we keep our focus on you, Father God, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. Knowing, Father God, that as we draw near to you, that you'll draw near to us. Father God, I just pray over this congregation, Father, that as they hear your word, that they'll have ears to hear and hearts to receive. I pray over myself, Father God, that I'll be patient, Father God, to hear your voice, Father God, that I'll not speak of myself, but of you, Father God, that I'll have a spirit of discernment in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the anointing that goes forth on this word, because they're words sent from you, Father. I thank you, Father, that they're accomplishing what you sent it to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So our foundational scripture, which means that when we say foundational scripture, it's kind of like the thought that pushes you through on the sermon. So our foundational scripture today is 1 Corinthians 5 and 17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And sometimes I might say my scripture and it'll be a little bit different, because in my notes I use a different version, but on the screen they're in King James Version. So that is our scripture, because as Christians, we have to know that things can change. Amen. Amen. When we became Christians, when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, things changed in the spirit. And as we grew in the word, things should have changed in our lives naturally. Amen. Amen. So again, as I say, this is the last time we'll meet in this decade, since we're not having a New Year's Eve service. And I just want y'all to know that great things are ahead for all of us. And I don't do that specifically as a prophetic word. I just know that the word says in Jeremiah 29:11. Go ahead and show that, Brother Willie. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I have, the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to earn you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And it says here, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," saith the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So as long as we stand up on the Lord's word, we should have hope for the future. Things might not have been good this year, but things can be good next year. I know some people went through some sickness this year. Some of us lost loved ones. Some of us suffered financial loss. Some of us had all different kinds of conflict in our lives. But God stood with us, right? Because we're all sitting here, and we came out on the other side. And sometimes we focus on the things that happened to us rather than the things that didn't happen to us. Amen? Maybe we got in financial difficulty, but I can always praise God that I have a house and a roof over my head, that I'm not living under a bridge. Amen? I know that God provided food for me. He certainly provided food in the Doty household, because Pastor Doty can't wear them skinny jeans anymore. I never could, so. But he provided for us, right? Can all of y'all say that God provided something for you this year, right? He did. He provided for us. Amen. And so we can have hope in that he didn't leave us this year and forsake us, and he won't do it next year either. Even as a church, Pastor Doty and I say, well, what we always take this time to start preparing for our annual business meeting that happens in February, and we examine things that happened in the church. What did we do? What did we accomplish? What was our setbacks and all of that? But we always take joy that we're still moving forward with what God told us to do. Amen. Even if we have some bumps along the way, we're still going forth with what God told us to do. Amen. So we can have a hope for in the future. And then, so if you say, well, it wasn't that good, can I hope for change? Yes. So we're going to talk about change today. And so we can hope for some change in our lives, because and change is inevitable. We have seasons in nature, you know, like that we always complain about. So when it was cold, we complain about it's too cold. When it's hot, it's too hot. In the spring, we have allergies. In the fall, I don't know what we have in the fall. I have allergies in fall, too. But we have seasons. There are different seasons in nature, and there are different seasons in our lives. In Ecclesiastes 1:3, verse 1 through 3, it says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to bring up. So we're always in a flux of change. Amen. You know, I don't know what he meant when it says a time to kill. I'm going to say it's time to kill your flesh, right? I don't think because there's other scripture, it's not a time that you can kill someone else. That's not it. But you can kill your flesh. You can kill the things that are not of God. You can pluck up what's out of you that's not of God. Amen. So I know that y'all saying if it's change, God says he doesn't change. And he doesn't. He says, I'm not a man that I should lie. I'm not a son of man that I should change my mind. But so God doesn't change. His word stays the same. But how we react to his word, how we present his word can change. Amen. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That is set in stone. But everything around that word can be changing. Amen. So in my message this morning, I'm going to discuss 3 points, just 3 points. The first one is when and why should we change? The second one is what keeps us from changing? That's a big one. And how should we make a change? So when should we make a change? The first one is obvious. It's when God tells us to do so. And last Sunday, Pastor Doty was preaching, and he was saying some things like you have to listen to God and hold on to God and different things like that. And it occurred to me, I'm like, well, maybe if you're a new Christian, you're like, I don't know how to actually do that. But you can hear from God. And when I was a new Christian, that was a little spooky because I'm like, I ain't never heard God talk from heaven. I'm not Paul. I'm not Saul becoming Paul. And most of us have not heard an audible voice from God. If you have, you had experienced something that was supernatural, and that's great and good, but most of us don't. But you can hear from God through his word. So he can tell us to change as we read the word of God. You'll say, you know, it's like when you're reading a scripture and all of a sudden you have a, I didn't know that was there. I don't know. Is that what you mean, Lord? It's like a tweak in the spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost, who is sent to comfort and guide us, will lead us through the scripture. You can also, as you grow mature and you're spending time in prayer, you can have a leading in your spirit in prayer. And so you'll feel God draw close to you, and God can tell you that there needs to be a change through your prayer life. Amen. Another way that you can hear from God is God has given us pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, right? So if you're like, I don't know, I don't know if I hear from God in prayer, I pray, but I'm not so sure that I'm being led by God, or maybe it's the devil telling me to do it, I don't know. Just take it this way, the devil don't normally tell you to do good things for God. He will tell you not to do things for God, so that's always a good test. But another way is he uses pastors and teachers. And so sometimes you'll hear a word that come across the pulpit, and it will resound in your spirit, and that's the way God can speak to you. So you can make that change when you hear God is speaking to you. And so as pastors, Pastor Doty and I, I've told you that before, we look for our members to grow up in the word. Amen. And so if you think of it as a parent, if you're feeding your child and you have a toddler, if I fed Pip all the time and he was getting skinnier and skinnier, or he wasn't growing at all, I would know that there's a problem with that child, right? Either the nutrition is not going through his body, he's not digesting it, or he's spitting it out, but it's not doing what it's supposed to be. Well, that's what pastors do when we look at our members. And so a good portion of y'all, I can look at you quite closely because you're my family and I know things that are going on. So if you're not my close family, say hallelujah, because I don't know all your business. But if you're family, I kind of know your business. So I look for areas of change in their life, that y'all have taken the word, that you have digested the word, and that you're growing up on it. And so you see, some of my family, they're kind of twitching right now, like, please don't tell our business. I'm not going to tell y'all business. That's okay. But, growing up, y'all know that as my son had lived with his girlfriend for quite a while, and Pastor Doty and I would put the word in him and put the word in him, and we kept waiting for him to get married. And so one of our testimonies this year was that he got married. He got married and came out of sin and found him a wife. And you don't call your children to preach, but I always say that I believe that he's called to preach. And so he has to believe that. He can't come because I told him to come. But I just believe that. And so maybe that's why he lived so long, because there was attack and he was being blinded by the devil. But he changed. And so it took a while, but there was some change in there. He heard from God, and he said he needed to get married, and he got married. So you can hear from God. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall be he speak, and he will show you the things to come." And so we all have the Holy Ghost as we pray, as we study the word, as we listen to our pastors preach. The Holy Ghost will lead us into areas that we need to change. We also need to change when we're not happy with our present state. You know, that in the natural, when we're not happy with our present state, we'll do something about it. If we think we're a little heavy, we'll go on a diet. If we don't like our job, we'll start looking for another job. If we don't like our spouse or our partner, we get divorces. If we don't like being by ourselves, we'll start looking for a mate. In the natural, we'll do what we need to do to make that change. But we also need to do that in the spiritual state. Each year as a Christian, and I want y'all to think about where y'all were this year, last year. I tell y'all would listen to one of these long detailed messages from me, because I spoke right before New Year's last year also. So I want you to think about where you were spiritually last year at this time, and just don't say anything out loud, just internally. Decide if you have grown into a deeper relationship with God this year. Are you the same? Have you went backwards, or have you went forward? And so each year, just as we feed our children and they grow, as we go through our walk with Christ, we should be growing in Christ. So if you had the same issues, whether they were in interaction with people or attendance at work, or all those things that cause issues, if you have not turned those over from God, I would put before you that you need to change those areas, that you need to grow deeper with God. You need to decide, do you spend more time with God? Do you read his word? Do you serve in ministry that helps the needs of the community? You know, sometimes we get where we like, I just come to church. Nowhere in there does it tell us. Well, it does. It tells us don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So that is a good thing, to come to church. But that just coming to church will not help you grow as a Christian. So you have to develop a relationship with God that is your own personal relationship with God. It has to be your own. Can y'all say that? My own personal relationship with God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." If we're not happy in our spiritual of state, it will affect our natural happiness. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you know, sometimes people don't know who they are in Christ. And when they don't know who they are in Christ, they're never satisfied. You'll never be satisfied in the natural. Not knowing who you are in Christ will make you seek after material things. If, you know, if I drive a certain car, then I'm good, right? If I'm driving a Chevrolet, if I'm driving a smaller car that no one says it's a designer car, does that make me less, right? And so some of us will look across the world and look at the fancy things that people have, and because we don't know who we are in Christ, we'll be unhappy. Because I don't have that. You know what else will make you unhappy? If you're not know who you are in Christ, Facebook will make you unhappy. And people just, let me tell you this. Facebook, I'll tell you from the church, because we from the church, we use our Facebook page. And it is a good thing to have. If people say, let's see what's going on with Kensington Christian Center. Let's see if I want to be there. We'll have pictures there and everything. But y'all know what? Even on the church's page, I go through those pictures like Sheila have on her page. But when they come to the church's page, there's some pictures. I'm like, no, that looks empty over there. I'm going to not put that one. So I create a picture of Kensington Christian Center that, it is an accurate picture, but I choose the best ones to put on Facebook. Amen. And so we'll be looking at other people on Facebook saying, I want to be this and I want to be that. And it's all a publicity campaign. It's all about showing what you want others to think you are. Some of it is true. That's true. It's an honest picture and everything, but that's not the full picture. Amen. I'm not going to put on Facebook when it's raining and storming on Sunday morning and hardly anybody come because Christians melt in the rain. It's dangerous for Christians to be out during the rain. I'm not going to put that picture on Facebook. But do we have those days here at Kingdom Christian Center? Yes, we do. Amen. And people who put pictures on Facebook, they have some bad days, but nobody's putting it out there. So when you seek material things to justify your worth, it's because you don't know who you are in Christ. Because I'm the same to the Lord, whether I'm wearing jeans from Walmart or if I'm wearing what's those jeans that you have? Lucky jeans that cost $90, $100, or Seven jeans, or there was that other one that he wanted. He had some, now he can't even fit in them. What if his worth was in those jeans that he can no longer fit in?
True religion,
or some expensive jeans, right? And this dude over here wanted some True Religion, and you have to have little narrow hips to get in True Religion. And he worked until he could get in those True Religions, and now he can't. So if it was all based on True Religion, he would be unhappy because he would not know who he was in the Lord. That now that he has those, where you get those jeans? What's that store up there that down past downtown? What's that story? Steinmore. He ain't no Steinmore jeans now because he got bigger hips. But you have to know who you are in Christ. Amen. So you have to know. I laugh because I say, are you the same if you have Poochie rather than Gucci? My grandson had the nerve to ask us. He said he wanted some Gucci for your birthday or Christmas or whatever. I don't know. He wanted some Gucci, and everybody looked at. Oh, and he also had the nerve to ask for an iPhone 11, which is $1,000. And everybody around him laughed and said, "You don't get no $1,000 phone, and you're not getting any Gucci. I'll look up some Poochie for you." So you just have to know who you are, amen, in Christ. So your spiritual state will influence your natural state. Amen. If you're in your natural state, in your spiritual state, if you don't know who you are, you'll always be looking for something greater. You'll be looking for a different man or a different woman because this one don't look good enough and they don't reflect well on me. She has too many hips and I need her to be slender because I need to have a reputation. It'll be all about what others think of you on the outside rather than what God thinks of you sitting from heaven. Amen. And don't y'all know it's better to know what God is thinking of you when he's sitting from heaven, right? Amen. Doesn't mean that you can't want designer things. That's not what I'm saying. If you want designer things and you can afford designer things, get designer things. That's nice. I'll look at your purse. I'll look at your Gucci, and Torian's not going to have them on and whatever. But if you have some Gucci, that'll be nice. I would look over there and see the red and green. I'm like, oh, they got some Gucci on. That's so good. But don't let it drive you. Amen. Okay, so the third reason that you need to change is when there is a deficit in our present state, when we're experiencing lack. And that's not just financial. You can have lack in your relationship. Let's start with the spiritual. You can have lack of spiritual faith, lack of trust, lack of confidence in God. You need to make a change. If you just don't know if you can trust God, then you need to make a change. You need to spend more time with them because, we trust, in general, we trust our parents, right? I trust my mother. I trust that if I have a need that she can meet, Harissa is going to meet my need if I have a lack, right? And so that's the same way we should be with our Father in heaven. But it takes some time to get to that point, right? It takes some time of trusting it and putting him out there. You're like, Lord, I don't know where it's going to come from. I've expended all my choices or all my ways of handling it. Some of us never get to that point because we'll keep fixing it ourselves, right? Amen. We will call up someone, we'll borrow, we'll do this, and we never ask God, should I just sit here, God? Is this a time that I should just trust in you that you're going to bring a better way? And that's when we get the high interest loans. Hopefully none of y'all went out and got any payday loans to buy any kids some gift cards. Y'all should have did it, but if you did, bless God, trust him that he'll get you out of it. But it's going to take some natural work in the natural state to get out of there. But sometimes God has an answer that's better than our answer. And if we slow down and trust in God, he'll give us an answer. But as long as we're going on and on and on and fixing it for ourselves, God can't get in the mix of it. We're walking and he said, hey, and we're just walking. He's like, hey, and we're walking. Hey, hey, you. No, I fixed it, Lord. I fixed it. And then you know what we have the nerve to do? We fix it. We never ask God how to fix it. And then we say, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless. And you're like, no, that was high interest. You should have waited. There might have been another way for you to fix it. That doesn't mean, you know, sometimes you say, I'll keep moving, God, but you have to listen for the voice of the God. I tell y'all that I'm a planner and I'm a fixer. And I had this motto that I heard in a sermon years ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's me. Because it said, people who solve problems get paid. I will solve you a problem. You ask me. And so sometimes my kids laugh because they say, people will be around me. And I'm just saying, do this and do this and do this. And she said, Mama, people be changing their lives based on what you said. And I was like, and I haven't asked God. I just be solving the problem. So they be changing lives. We have one friend who's a coach, and I saw him. He went to church with us, and I was at a job fair, and he came to the job fair. Y'all actually know him, John, Pastor John, Minister John, that comes. He's on our board, and he comes once a year on our anniversary and talks to y'all. Well, we went to church, and we just knew each other casually, but I was at a job fair when I worked at the city of Austin. He had got laid off at Dell, and he came to my booth, and he showed me his resume, and on his resume, I noticed that he had did some coaching, and he had played basketball, and I was like, well, why don't you just get your teacher certificate? I hadn't prayed. I just said something. I ain't prayed. You should coach. Maybe you should use that. Next thing I know, he was going to school to be a coach, and I was like, scared. I was really scared, y'all, because I'm like, I didn't pray. This boy has done what I told him to do, and I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek God. He did. So he is a coach. He has coached for 20 years now, based on some casual word that I said. But he went home and prayed about it, and God confirmed it. But sometimes, you know, that's how it is. Somebody say, well, why don't you do that? They haven't prayed about that. So people can give you solutions, but you still need to go and pray about it. Because I haven't prayed. Pastor Cookie will give you a solution, because I will. I told a girl to get rid of her gas oven and get electric. She said that she had to cook cookies in a toaster oven. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going back to my sermon. She was my employee at Nacogdoches, and she said, we were having our Christmas party, and she goes, I don't know why I signed up for cookies, because I have to cook the cookies in a toaster oven. And I said, well, I thought they came and fixed, because she had taken off for electricity to be fixed. And she said, yeah, they fixed the electricity, but my stove is gas, and they need me to redo the line under the house, and it's going to cost me $3,000. To do that. So I don't have a stove because I don't have $3,000 to fix this gas line. And I just looked at her and said, well, why don't you get an electric stove? Didn't you just fix the electricity? And she's like, I did. I never thought of that. She said, well, I kind of, here Loretta, because people who solve problems get paid. So I can solve a problem, right? So she said, my stove is fairly new. And I said, put it on Marketplace. You can sell it. You can sell it and then buy an electrical. I said, we bought a stove for church one time, and it only cost us about $200. We bought it. It was a good stove. I said, you can buy that. That's better than that $3,000. And I just went on my merry way, just giving out advice, unsolicited advice. And then I came up on her talking to someone else, and she says, I never thought of it. I'm going to get an electric stove. I just cannot believe I've been thinking about $3,000. That was the only thing in her house that was gas, was her stove. But maybe she should pray about it, because maybe there's another reason that she shouldn't get a stove. But when I, even when Pastor Cookie tells y'all something, y'all need to pray about it and make sure that that's what God would have you do. Because I pray for y'all, but I haven't prayed for that specific situation. Amen. But I will give you a plan for it. Now, if you come to counseling, let me put that out here. If you come to counseling or something like that and you ask us for advice, we'll always pray then.
Amen.
But if it's a casual conversation, we have not prayed about that. Amen? So when there is a deficit in your life, so if you have lack of faith, lack of trust, lack of confidence in God, you need to draw closer to Him. There's an indication that you need to change. In our natural state, it could be the lack of funding or provisions. But where there is lack, there should be change in our lives. We can do everything that we can in the natural to eliminate the natural. God can help us when we put our natural with our supernatural. With His super, we'll get a supernatural. And sometimes we can't figure out why it works. And I don't normally talk about so much about finances, but I will tell you this, that when we came here, we had, we drove for 2 years. Drove for 2 years, and Pastor Doty and I had our jobs in Austin. And so we would come here on Sunday, and Monday through Friday, we would go to work. And so we were tithing. So we were keeping our church afloat as the church grew to have members. And then we decided it was time enough for us to come move to Jacksonville. Well, Pastor Doty retired, and he does get an annuity check. He gets an annuity check every month. On the 30th of the month, he gets his check just like he went to work. But that check is significantly lower than what it was when he actually went down to the Texas Facilities Commission.
Amen.
And worked, right?
Amen.
It's about $30,000 less, right?
Just 30.
Yeah, $2,500 a month less than what he was. And somehow or another, our lifestyle didn't change.
Amen.
So $2,500 for some people is their monthly salary, but he had additional over that. But our lifestyle did not change. And so I know some of y'all might say, well, how you're giving that testimony, but you work for the church. And I will tell you this, the first few years of church, even after we had moved here, he didn't take a salary from the church. So we took a $30,000 cut and kept living the same way we did. I don't know how God did it.
Amen.
That is a supernatural thing, because we always had money in the bank. We could do what we wanted to do every August. Where did we go? We went off to visit whatever state we hadn't
Amen.
Seen yet. So he kept us. It's a supernatural. You have to trust. I don't know. He just kind of makes it grow. And he just makes it expand, and it's a supernatural thing. If there's no lack in our household. Why? Because we give for God. We trust in God. We say, God, if you want me to do this, if this is our time, then we're coming to do Kingdom Christian Center. And so we put our natural, we paid off a few bills here and did this, and we put our natural with God's super, and we just have kept a stride, everything. People, Pastor Doty always saying we're rich. We are rich in the spiritual. We're not rich in our bank account. We're just average old people, but God keeps us going. Amen. He whatever you do for God, He'll make sure in the natural that it won't cause you lack.
Right.
He will supernaturally do that. And we did that totally from God. And so there's no lack in our household. And so we come a time. So how many of y'all know what did I do last Friday on the 20th? I retired.
Amen.
But even then, when I say there's lack of trust, it was a process of me building that trust. And I think it was more than, I think it was a longer process for me than it was for Pastor, because Pastor, I had tried to get him to change jobs, because I have always been about make the money, honey. That's what I'm like. What I'm going to make that money, I'm going to be an executive, right? That's why I held on to that script, that sermon that said, those who solve problems get paid. So I said, I'm going to solve some problems, because I want to get paid. Right? So I had built up in my career, and it almost like it's like, who am I without the career? Am I really going to let go of it for God, right? And it was about a year or so, almost 2 years ago, the Lord told me to come off the job.
Amen.
I had plans. I said, well, I was going to stay 5 years. People in sermons, services spoke to me and said, out of the blue, Sister Doty, the Lord says that you need to come off the job. Yeah. And I'm like, I know it. He confirmed it over the pulpits. Not him. Strangers, people that I met. Sister Doty, what is that you've been, okay, you need to write the book, Sister Doty. I'm like, okay, I hear you, Lord. Did I leave? That was last October. That's when that preacher, the last time that preacher did it was in October of last year. I still stayed. I was like, I'm gonna do it. I sure like having all this extra. I'm gonna do it. I just like trust. So there's an area lag, right? Trust at that level. I trusted God, but I was like, I don't know if I trust God with this salary. Do you know what I make, Lord? Okay, I like making it. Maybe He don't know. You know I make more than Charvin, right? He made good, but I made real good. Okay. You know what the Lord did? He turned up the volume. You know what? If you won't go on your own and God wants you to do stuff, He'll. You know how He said Job. He said, "Try him. Let me take my protection off of him." And I swear, some of the ugliest people came out of Stephen F. Austin. I was like, oh, I had people quitting here. I had to learn new programs. I was stressed out, just stressed, trying to get a position filled, and then somebody else would leave. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I had to learn. I swear I had to learn almost every job in my division, hands-on. And so I'd be there late. I'd be there early learning. So he just made it. He just let circumstances drive. And I'm like, man, I sure am tired. Charlie's like, you know, the Lord told you to leave 2 years ago. Why are you still there? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I finally said, you know what, Lord? I understand. And you know what? I'm so much of a Christian. And when I went and told my boss I was leaving, he was like, are you sure, Loretta? Can you stay a little bit longer? And I was like, no. And I said, let me tell you why. The Lord told me to leave. Yes, I'm talking to a boss in the world. The Lord told me to leave. And then he just made it uncomfortable for me to stay, that I didn't even like being here. Mm. So I said, you know, sometimes he will take your comfort away from you and let you learn, because I was not in the will of God.
Amen.
Did I do well? Oh, yeah, I did well. I got another raise right before I quit, because I handled that. Because what did I tell you? People who solve problems get paid. So I learned every program there was there and got paid. And I held my little resignation letter to that Merritt came in. So when I got the letter for the Merritt, I went up and gave him my letter of retirement, because I had 4 more months to work. So as I gave my notice in August, so I had 4 more months to let work. And I was going to keep that raise for those 4 months. And my retirement, not my retirement, my vacation leave gets paid out on the higher amount. So I'm still solving problems and getting paid. But I did that, and I had to trust in the Lord, right? And so y'all watch and see. Y'all say, let me see if she gets any new shoes. Yeah, I'm going to get some new shoes. I'm still getting new shoes. I'm still going to get my retirement. Did I take a cut? Yeah, I took a cut in my retirement. But God is going to give us the increase.
Yes, he is.
And I trust that he will give us the increase.
Yes,
come August, I told Charmin, I said, I think we're going to do that Europe this year. I think we're going to make Europe. I have been standing for Europe since I was in high school, and I'm going to go to Europe. I almost got in fear about it, that, you know, I was going to be on some bus, and it was going to get blown up, so I didn't want to go. But I'm going to Europe, because you know why? Because God will not suffer us to have lack.
Amen.
If there is lack in your life, you need to pray to God. Just like Brother Samuel says. Brother Samuel said, he's like, I'm doing okay, but I need to come up.
Yeah.
And you know why he came up? Because he turned it over to the Lord. He turned it over to the Lord. And y'all think that the Lord only operates at church, but he doesn't. When you hear the word, you have to act on the word. If you hear something like, I'm just going to take it in. There was one time I was making, $1,500 a month. And the pastor says that we have not because we ask not, right? And I was like, well, I need a raise. I do. And so the next day, on Thursday morning, I marched back to my boss's office and I said, Jim, let me talk to you. He said, what you want, Loretta? And I said, I need a raise.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I do too. And I said, no, I'm serious. I need a raise. And he said, well, there's no raises right now. And I said, well, but I just wanted you to know that I need a raise.
Amen.
Not too long after that, you know what I got? A raise.
Amen.
He gave me a raise. And you know what? From the time that I asked for that raise to the time that I left, maybe 2-3 years after that, I stayed there 5 years, probably three three more years. Every 6 months, I got a raise.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
6 months, Amen. I got a raise. Why? Because I listened to what came across that pulpit and knew it was from God. Did it look crazy? Yeah, it looked crazy because I was in this little, I was working at TWC. But I asked, I said, oh, you know what, Lord? If I, you, your word says I have not because I asked not. If your man of God says that's the reason I don't have, I'm going to ask him. And some of y'all haven't been asking. Y'all are like, well, that's the way it should work. No, what is it going to hurt for you to ask?
Amen.
Jim told me that I couldn't get a raise. He wanted one too. But every 6 months, till the day I left, I got a raise. How do I know everybody else wasn't getting that? Because after that, years later, I got ready to hire someone, and she was the replacement for me in the position that I left. Now, it had been years in between, so I had a salary that I was going to offer the position. And I told my employment specialist, I said, I don't think she's going to take that job because I was making more than that when I left all those years ago. It was at least five or six, seven years later. They offered her that, so be sure to tell her what the salary is. She was making less than that. She took my position. She didn't get raises every 6 months like I did. Only I got raises every 6 months to the day that I left, right? I have been on jobs and other people have left, and I wasn't going anywhere. And they say, well, let us give you a retention bonus. Y'all know what a retention bonus is? So did you stay. So they'll retain you. I wasn't going anywhere. They just gave me some money to stay where I was staying anywhere. I'm telling you, when you do things for God and you trust in God, He will bless you, right? And so, you know what? It was a journey to the salary, but in that journey, I always put God first. That I use vacation days. Okay, Pastor, you need me to do something at church? I'll use my vacation day to come up and do it at church. If somebody needs to be visited, let me take off. You know what? I perform well on those jobs, but I always put God first. The jobs of people knew I was a Christian. They knew I was going to church, and they gave me raises. They just kept giving me raises. Amen. Bless God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If there's a deficit you need to change, then you need to believe on this scripture, because there's no lack in Jesus. He said He will supply all our needs according to the glory, the riches that are in Christ Jesus. How many riches are in Christ Jesus? He is the Lord. He's the Son of God. He came from a place that the streets were made of gold. Amen. He's not concerned about us a little trinkets and stuff like that. No, He's not. So just change how you think about it. James 1:5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, which gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given unto him. Amen. So if you have a lack in your life, if there is a deficit, it could be friendships, it could be anything, but there is a word for you in the word of God. Amen. Okay, so another reason that you should change is when others are unhappy around you and ask you to change. You know, sometimes, y'all, people will tell you things that you really need to change. And I'm going to say that this happens the most probably in marriage or relationships, right? And your spouse or your partner and your person you're dating will be saying, you need to stop doing this. This is getting on my nerve. And you do this all the time. You do this. And you just ignoring it. I don't know. Sometimes if they tell you over and over, you probably need to think about it and make a change. All of us can change, right? In relationship therapy and counseling that Pastor Doty and I, we try to see what's going on both sides. But what we normally find is that neither side is perfect. That somebody might have did a greater misdeed. I was going to say that's in the case of maybe that someone creates adultery. But usually the path leading to it, there's wrongs and things that could be changed on both sides. So when others around you are telling you that they're unhappy with you, it's an opportunity for you to examine yourself and see if there needs to be some change. If you in your household, maybe it's just you together, if you're arguing over the same things, that's an indication that some change needs to be made in that area. Amen? So I'll give you one of our histories. Pastor Doty and I used to argue usually about our son. My son, Teray, that boy, bad boy, he better be a preacher. He needs to give me some blessings, all the heartache and stuff. Yeah, but Teray was always pitting us against each other. He would ask me, and even though he would go to me, he was kind of like a mama's baby, right? So he would come to me and ask, and or just mention stuff, and then I'd go to Charvin and ask. And so Charvin was always saying, if you're a man, you should be able to come ask. So you're raising him up not to be a man. He needs to be a man. So stop asking on his benefit, on his behalf. And I'll say, oh, he didn't ask me to ask you. He said, no, he didn't ask you because he knew you were going to run in here and ask me just because he mentioned it. So he was manipulating the situation. So we argued about him all the time. So we had to come into agreement. I had to look and say, is this boy manipulating me? And lo and behold, I'm looking like, yeah, he manipulated me. Sitting over here looking like with them gray eyes, thinking he cute and stuff. He was manipulating his mama because he looked kind of like his daddy, right? So he was manipulating. So I had to make a change. And then sometimes Charvin would just say no for the sake of saying no. And so we had to say, well, why did you tell him no, Charvin? I don't know. I just told him no. Well, he had to learn not to just say no. So sometimes, even when we were growing up, have our marriages, our kids were growing up, we had arguments too. So my point, again, is if you're in a relationship with someone else and y'all are arguing about the same thing and the same thing, it is not going to change unless you make a change. It's not. If you do the same thing and expect different results, insanity. Oh, it's insanity to do the same thing and expect different results. If you spend all your money, you ain't going to be able to pay your bills. Pay your bills and then spend what's left over. If you don't have enough, what do you do with that you have? Put it on your bills and then expect for the rest. Don't say, I don't have an electricity bill and I'm going to get some shoes with this. I'm going to just ask for the entire electricity bill. No, you had $75 of the $150 bill. If you went down to the city of Jacksonville with your $75 and said, I don't have the rest, but I want you to take this $75, what you think city of Jacksonville going to do? They're going to take that $75. There's no reason for you to take that $75 and put it on your feet or go out and then say, I need $150 to pay the electricity bill. You know, God will honor it, though. If you pay, you put that $75 on that bill and say, God, I need the rest, he'll honor it. Because why? Because you acted in integrity. But if you're like, I don't have enough, I'm just blow this. Nope. He didn't. Lack is not a time to party. Lack is a time to hold on and pay it, right? Amen. So if people are unhappy around you, think about it, weigh it, and use it as a change. And the other part is, another one is when the world around us change. The world is changing. Technology is getting stronger. Change. And I told Pastor Dodie I'm not going to get through with it, that I was going to stop at a certain time. So I'm going to tell y'all the reasons that you change. I'm going to finish those, and then we're going to come back and let him preach the rest of it next Sunday. Y'all didn't know sometimes we write each other sermons. Did y'all know that? I bet y'all didn't know that, right? Sometimes we do. We write each other sermons. He'll preach it, I'll write it. Or he'll write it and I'll preach it and it comes out totally different than the one. So even though I wrote this sermon, he'll preach it, it'll be different than me. It'll be more charismatic, I think. But anyway, when the world around us changes, we have to change. And this one is mostly in the church, right? Because we want our church to stay the same, right? We want to sing, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. We want the communion to be served with white gloves. My father-in-law, if he comes here, our communion drives him crazy because we're passing all the things. Nobody have on white gloves. The kids are taking communion. It just drives him crazy. Why? Because of tradition. Because, you know, what does it say about communion in the Bible? As often as you do this in remembrance of me. And so he says, take the bread and take the blood, the wine. That's all he says. He don't say, do it in white gloves. He doesn't say do it in white dresses. He don't say that wonderful cloth has to be covered. That's okay that it is, but that's all a part of it. But things are changing in the world, and so we have to change. And this one I'm going to press on because as a church, we keep pushing to change. And some things that we do, it seems strange here in Jacksonville, but we're trying to make sure that we still stay active with the next generation. And we can't do that doing church as we did it 150 years ago. It may seem comfortable to have church the way we did 150 years ago. If I go into White's Temple right now, I grew up in White's Temple Church of God in Christ. If I go in there and it seems just like the church service, and when I grew up, I would be quite comfortable. I'd be like, ooh, it was just so nice to come home and go to church. There it is. But that doesn't mean that my kids will be comfortable in the Church of God in Christ, because things are changing, right? And so as a church, as things around us change, we need to change. And things around us are really changing. So we don't listen to the gospel on the radio. My grandmother used to have this little frosted green, kind of like this color, radio to sit in her bedroom, and at nighttime she would listen to the gospel with different preachers on the radio. We don't do that anymore, but what we do have is blogs. We can stream services, we can do Facebook Live, we can get the word. It's just an updated thing. And so in your life, you need to be, if the world around us is changing, you need to change also. How many of y'all, let's say it's a generation, a young generation, actually have checks? You're not young, pig. My kids don't have checks. They don't write checks. They do not write checks. They just use their cards. And the world is going where it didn't. We were in Philadelphia coming home, and they don't want you to use cash either. It's going to go away where they. I don't know where all the cash is going to be. I guess locked up down at Austin Bank somewhere. But they don't want you to use cash either. I was at the airport, and I went to get something to eat for Charvin and I picked up the food, and I was sitting there, and the lady says, okay, you got it? And I said, yeah. And I said, well, here, I have. She's like, and she looked at me like I was crazy because I handed her cash. Like, oh, you have cash. Hold on. And she had to go in the bag. And then she comes out with this, like the little Austin Bank bag, and then gave me change out of that and looked at me. She still, I think she went back over there and said, girl, that lady over there have cash. And I never realized to that moment that the world was going away from us carrying cash. It is. I told Charvin, I don't know what they're building that new ATM machine out there for, because nobody wants you to carry cash anyway. Because they have, Apple Pay, where you pay with your phone. They have, you can pay online. You can deposit a check online. You don't even have to go. And that's because the world is going away from you coming in with some cash. It's going to be in the bank down there. Somebody going to have to hire security guards because there's going to be lots of cash in there. But I don't know why anybody would rob, because you can't. They would know you robbed the bank because you got cash. I don't know. Things are changing. Another thing that the young generation had stopped doing was wearing watches. Did y'all know that young people didn't wear watches? You're old school, Danya. You're old school. My son will wear a watch. I love my son. And his watch won't even have a battery in it. Sometimes he wears it just for look, and it'll just, like, it's 3 p.m., and it'll say it's 11 a.m. Yeah. And we're like, why don't you put a battery in the watch, Trey? He's like, because who needs to tell time on a watch? We have our phone. That's what he said. We have our phone. So you just pull out your phone. I'm like, but my phone's in my purse, right? So I'm assuming because of that, for the younger generation, the sale of watches had went down. So, you know, people who look for opportunities. So Apple said they're going to create a watch that young people will wear. And so they created an Apple Watch. And do you know what this Apple Watch will do? Everything that my phone will do. I can answer this and say, hello, how are you, Jamal? If Jamal is calling my phone, I can answer it on this watch. I can send a text on my watch. I can check my email on my watch. And so now, what's the rage? Everybody's buying an Apple Watch. So Pastor Doty bought it for me, and he had to tell me I could answer the phone on this stupid thing. Y'all not gonna see that. I like the old fashioned watch, but it's an Apple Watch. What's my point? Times are changing, and if we don't change with the time, time will leave us behind. I know Mama said I'm not gonna ever learn computers. I don't have any need to computer, and now her doctor's office said check it. Mom said, they don't call you anymore to tell you your test results. She has to go on there, and where your test results at, Mama? On a computer. So time will keep sweeping you forward. So I'm just going to close with that. As we go into the new year, there are some new things that Kingdom Christian Center is going to be doing. One of them is our youth area. And people would say, why on earth are you letting the youth have stuff to play with? So the youth room up there is going to have a pool table. It has a basketball game, it has a PlayStation, it has a ping pong table, and it has foosball all up there. All of that's a reward for coming to church. So first they go to church, They hear the word, and then they get turned out early, and they can spend some time playing with the stuff. Because you know why? Kids in Jacksonville, you know what they don't normally have at their house? A pool table, ping pong table, foosball. And some of them don't have PlayStation. Some of them do, but some of them don't. And so you know what? If we have to tempt them to come up here to church so that they can learn the word, because they can't play pool, they can't play foosball until they hear the word. So that's a different way of doing church, because what were we told? You get in that church and you sit down and you be quiet, right? You didn't play. We couldn't even write notes. Now you can text all across church and everything. So that's changing. We're going to have a blog. Pastor Doty and I are going to have a blog. It's called Everyday Kingdom Talk, and where we discuss everyday topics from a kingdom perspective. And so the blog is just kind of like a radio show, but we can do it ourselves. So we'll have that. And we're going to kind of think about how we're going to do a Bible study, because we're going to do a little bit of difference. Because most of y'all do not come to Bible study. And so when the world around us change, we change. So we have a small group that comes to Bible study, and they come faithfully, and we enjoy Bible study. We're not sure why y'all don't come. Right, Sister Jean? Right, Sister Regina? We have a good time at Bible study. We'll keep having Bible study for them, but we're going to hook y'all in on the word, because I don't want, in 2020, when we go into a decade, I don't want anyone to say, I didn't get any word, or you didn't give me an opportunity to have the word from our pastors because I wasn't in church. That's not giving you an excuse not to be in church, because it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Right now, we have one method of you to listen, because we put our sermons on our website. Did y'all all know that they're there? And sometimes I'm like, man, that was a rambling message, and it was only for us. I wish Pastor wouldn't put it on the website, but it's on the website, so you can access our sermons on the website. The other way is that we're going to finalize our app, and you can, on your phone, go to our Kingdom Christian Center app, and you can click it and get the sermon that way also. On our, we're going to get a group meeting. You know how I send out those texts? Okay, Sister Jean, Sister Harish, y'all going to have to come up to this age, but we're going to we'll let you know. But everybody that has a phone that can have text, we have a thing where we say group meeting, and we'll ask you to check in with us. And that way, when we want to send out announcements or we want to send out words to you, just a Bible verse for the day, you can receive it on your phone. And so those are some of the things that we're going to do in the future, because when the world around us change, we have to change. God doesn't change. His word is true. His word is set. That doesn't mean, also, what I'm not saying is that we go with culture of the world. Because let me tell y'all this, and this is going to be my final word, is that there is an attack against the minorities of this nation. And you know what the attack is? In our families. It's the attack on our families. Pastor was preaching, and he was talking about Father God. And I started thinking about our children, and it almost brought me to tears, because we have 29 kids that come. They come different times. There's 29 kids, but I know each and every one of those kids. Well, not each and every one. A few of them that I don't know about their home life, because they don't come all the time. Their parents don't come. But most of our kids are in a household that they, if they have a father figure in their household, it's not their natural father, and very few of them have anyone in their household. And you know what? That would tell me that our kids are going to have a problem thinking about Father God. Because if there's no father in the household, when you say, trust me as a father, they have no concept of a father in their household. And there is an attack on the minority community. Because, you know, there's divorce everywhere, but the rates are higher in the minority community. It is time out for us having sons who have kids, and nobody tells them, you need to raise your child. It is time out for us not telling young ladies that I don't care if you do have, you shouldn't be having children out of wedlock, because 85% of the children that are in JISD, that's high school, that's elementary, that's middle school, 85% are below the poverty level. 85%, I would believe that a good portion of that 85% have no father figure in the household. So we have got to bring people in the church. So because God says that you should be a man and a woman in a household and you should raise your children. When we do that, our children's life will change. Is that, are you like, well, what do we do now? What you do is you raise your child in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. You know what? God has grace. He has love. He has mercy. But there has to be change. We can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. Because you know what? I bet you that 15% that's above poverty level, I bet it ain't us. If it is, it's just very few. I bet it's other people. And if you look in those households, there is a family unit that's strong. They're out there at Central Baptist. I come in through Central Baptist. Central Baptist parking lot is full. The Methodist Church parking lot is full. They come to church. They raise their family. And it's time out. It's time out for us to just keep doing, because the world says that we can live together and just have kids. No, sons, you need to raise your kids. Daughters, you need to choose a man that will stay with you to raise your kids. Stop choosing whoever they are. I won't call my name, but you need to raise your kids. That's important. 85% below the poverty level. 85%. Y'all, if y'all don't know that's bad, I was shocked. 85% is below the poverty level. And you know how we can change? We can raise our kids in the admonition of the Lord. We can be built up in the Lord ourselves so that the Lord will know, this is my son, this is my daughter. If there's a raise to be given out, I'm going to give that raise to my son and my daughter, and they're going to be above the poverty level. We have to get out of holding our hands out to others and hold our hands up to God. Amen. And we have to realize that the devil does not mean us for good. He is subtle. He is destroying the minority community. Our young men are not here. They don't have fathers to raise them. Their fathers are in prison. They go to prison. It's just not good. We need to do something. And we need y'all to join us, because we need to do whatever we can do. We can't do a lot, but we can do something for this community. Amen. 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 So my sermon went all off kilter. Pastor Dodie will preach it for y'all real good next Sunday. He will. But anyway, that's on my heart. It was really shocking to me when I started ticking off the kids. I'm like, oh my gosh, there is no father figure in the household. Amen. So yeah, we need to do better. We need to do better, and we need to tell the devil we're on to him. He is not going to destroy us. We are the foundation of the world, because the Garden of Eden, it was over there where the people of color were. And ever since then, he's been trying to destroy people of color. And we need to stop. Don't listen to this stuff talking about, they brought us over here and gave us the white man religion. You know what? Yes, they did, because God is still trying to save us. He's like, I had to have a relationship with you. We are the foundation of the world. Amen. So we're going to do better in 2020. We're going to bring our kids to church. We're not going to say, well, they sleep, well, they don't need to go. Yes, yep. Because you know what? 85%. Or in poverty. If we're going to get the next generation out of poverty, they need to know what the Bible says, because the Bible teaches you things that make you a success in life. Amen.